Hi, I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. Now, this week was the first full week of NFL football, and boy, am I happy for it to be back. I know I said I was happy last week because college football was back, but I'm even more happier now because we have college football and NFL football. And how I started last week, where I talked about the biggest losers and winners of college football, I figured I'd do the same this week for the NFL. So, we're going to start with our losers, so let's get the bad out of the way before we start with the good. And unfortunately, we got to start with my team, the Carolina Panthers. We got absolutely destroyed on Sunday by the Saints. Like, really? Come on now. The Saints? Ugh. I was utterly disappointed. And the most alarming thing that I was disappointed in was definitely Bryce Young's performance. Now, if you know me and you have talked to me before about what I felt about the Carolina Panthers, I always believed that Bryce Young was the right choice. I'm not saying that to say that I thought that CJ Stroud would have not been a great NFL quarterback, because, I mean, we saw what he did at Ohio State. So I knew that he was talented and I knew that he could transition. But for some reason, I just like Bryce Young a little bit more. And maybe I was a little bit biased because I'm more of an Alabama fan than I am an Ohio State fan. And his rookie year, I felt like the Carolina Panthers as an organization did not do right by him by putting weapons around him, giving him the right coaching staff. I mean, the guy is going into his second season as an NFL quarterback. He has already had three coaches. I mean, who can perform at the top of their game when there's a revolving door of coaches and coordinators? So I cut him some slack and I allowed him to, you know, make the mistakes. And at the same time, he is a rookie. Our offensive line was crap. I mean, he didn't have time in the pocket to throw. He didn't have time to make the correct decisions because he was always running for his life. So I cut him some slack. But what I saw in that first game on Sunday, it was very disheartening and disappointing. Bryce threw for only 161 yards, completing only 43% of his passes, and he threw two interceptions. The first pass of the game was interception. So are you not able to read defenses properly? Because that first pass, he had a clean pocket, still threw it over the middle, far away from his receiver, and right into the hands of the safety. So, Bryce, can you not read blitzes? Can you not read defenses correctly yet? Were you just overstimulated? What was the reason? What was the reasoning for that performance? And I like how our head coach went in and he took full responsibility. He came out and he said, you know, I just flat out got outcoached. I felt that. But, Bryce, we need to see more from you. You are the number one overall pick. It is now time for us to have that discussion. Are you playing to the number one's pick potential? Are you going to be that guy? Your first year, it doesn't count. I'm giving you a clean slate. But how you started that second year, oh, man. And honestly, it wasn't entirely all his fault, okay? Jonathan Mingo, I don't know why we drafted him. Him and Terrence Marshall, those were two draft picks that I'm just like, what are we doing? We have not drafted correctly in years. So I need our front office, I need our owners to get together, figure out what needs to be done, because right now they're making all the wrong decisions. To me, the beginning of this domino effect is when you give up, you give up your best offensive weapon in Christian McCaffrey. You send him to the 49ers and then he wins offensive player of the year. Okay. You let him go. Fine. All right. We can find another running back. We can, maybe not to the caliber of Christian McCaffrey, but we can find another guy. I mean, Chuba Hubbard hasn't been terrible, okay? But then you let go of DJ Moore, who was a weapon, a good, reliable weapon. So you set your quarterback up with no star running back, no star wide receiver. You gave him nothing. But you did go out and you get Adam Thielen, but he's in the tail end of his career. He can only do so much. So what have you guys provided Bryce with to help him out? Okay, I said we did okay with going out and get Deontay Johnson, but I mean, he didn't do an exceptional job with the Steelers either. And I mean, he had a revolving door of up and down quarterback play in Pittsburgh as well. So fresh start, but I'm not seeing much of anything from that first game. And our defense didn't help him out at all. I mean, Horn, you allowed three touchdowns on you. You just got flat out beat. I'm happy to see you healthy, and I pray that you stay healthy for the rest of the season. But you have to do better than that. And it's just the first game of the season, but alarm bells are definitely ringing. Now, to move on to our other biggest loser, I'm not even going to give it to one player per se, like how I gave Bryce Young that for the Carolina Panthers. I'm giving it to the New York Giants organization. You go out and you sign Daniel Jones to over $120 million contract. And that number could be wrong, but I do know $92 million is guaranteed, and he signed for a $36 million bonus, and he gets out in that first game. He goes 22 for 42 for 186 yards, no touchdowns, and two INTs, one which was a pick six. And he did that in the preseason, and he did it in the first game again. And I'm not going to lie, that was a kind of a circus pick six, very athletic pick six. But at the same time, you threw a pick six. You have all this money, and you're not performing to that caliber. So what can the Giants do for you to improve, Daniel? Because I haven't seen it. You only went to one playoff game. And then they gave you all that money, and then now they don't have anything to show for it, and then you start the season off that way. So I need the Giants to figure out if they made the right decision. And then they let Saquon Barkley go, who at the time was arguably their best offensive weapon. But they did a good job by going into the draft and getting Malik Nabers, who he had really good flashes of being a dynamic wide receiver in his first NFL game. But what else is there? How can he be as dynamic if you don't have, what's the word I'm looking for? He can't be a dynamic receiver if you don't have a dynamic quarterback. So I need you to get that under control, and I need you to figure out what that is and fix it. Too much money is involved. Okay? Now that we got the losers out of the way, let's talk about some of the biggest winners. In the NFL. In the NFL for week one, that's Kansas City Chiefs. No NFL team has three-peated in the Super Bowl era. And I'm not saying that Kansas City will, but doggone it, did they look good on Thursday night against the Ravens. And the Ravens are not a pushover team, especially not defensively. Okay. And I want to throw out some blame to the Buffalo Bills for passing up on Xavier Worthy, and then you give him to the Kansas City Chiefs. And in his debut as a Kansas City Chief, he goes for not one, but two touchdowns. He looks like a skinnier Tyreek Hill out there. I mean, he is just flying past defenders. I mean, we saw him do it at Texas for 3 years, and I'm an Oklahoma fan. I hate it when we play Texas because of how fast and how open Xavier Worthy consistently got. And then you give him to the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Rashid Rice. Come on. The Bills have positioned the Kansas City Chiefs for a three-peat. Because that offense is going to be dynamic, and I don't see them slowing down unless it is injuries. But that's a team that stays pretty healthy. So if they stay healthy, I see them possibly three-peating and being the first team to do that in the Super Bowl era. Now, let's also talk about the San Francisco 49ers. They were also great in their first NFL game. And I mean, that's a matchup from the Super Bowl that we just had. And yet they are top two teams that have not even shocked or surprised me in week one. they just look good. The 49ers struggled a little bit in their first two drives. And, I mean, people were scared or nervous because Christian McCaffrey was missing only his second game since he'd been a 49er. But the backup running back that got his first career start with the Chiefs, I mean, he rushed for 147 yards and a touchdown. 147 yards. Jordan Mason put on an absolute clinic. Okay, I get it. They have a solid offensive line. And I mean, look at their play caller. So I expected him to have a good first game. I didn't expect him to have that good of a first game. And let's not act like the Jets don't have arguably top three defense coming out of the NFL last year. So this wasn't a scrub defense. This was an elite defense, and he rushed for almost 150 yards. And he's the backup. He's not even the original starter. And that's how you put on a show. That's how you show a team that they can't keep you on the sideline. Yes, Christian McCaffrey was the offensive player of the year last year, but hey, I'm just as talented as him. I can see that being a double-edged sword when Christian McCaffrey comes back, okay? So though, and let's also, I was about to skip over this. The 49ers defense looked amazing. Okay. Fred Warner is possibly I think he is the best linebacker in the NFL right now. I mean, his ability to always find the ball, his ability to punch out balls and force fumbles, and he's always active. The key to being a good linebacker, you always find the ball, and he always finds the ball. No matter if it's rushing, no matter if it's a quick outlet pass, he is there. His ability to find the football is almost next to none in the NFL right now, and he's only going to get better. And that's the scary part about it. I don't know how the 49ers are going to get the money to have to pay him when it's time for him to get a new contract, but they're going to have to dish out some money. And they're already dishing out a lot of money. I mean, so it's only going to get harder for them. All right. And I would like to have an honorable mention to Saquon Barkley, who in his Eagles debut ran for 109 yards and he had three touchdowns, one receiving, two rushing. Okay. And the reason why I had to mention Saquon, I mean, he's on the team where he's only arguably the third star on the team, and he was the one that shined the brightest, and this was his debut with the team. The Eagles are going to be a scary team, but Jalen Hurts, also, he needs to control his turnovers. He has to get better at that. From last season to how this season started, it's not looking too good. But we are early on in the NFL season. A lot of things can happen. A lot of things can change. But I'm excited, and I hope you guys are just as excited as I am. All right, now, that's enough of the NFL and how week one went. Week two of college football. You guys shouldn't even be surprised on who the biggest loser is. The biggest loser is Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois. I mean, you pay a team $1.4 million to come into your house, and they beat you 16-14. Does that push them out of the playoff? Nope, still too early to tell. But it makes their schedule harder. And what I mean by it makes it harder, they're going to have to beat at least two ranked opponents going forward. If not, I mean, they're already an independent team, so they're not going to have the four at-large bid, but they can be in the mix for the rest of the eight, okay? But that doesn't afford you a bye week, and you're really going to have to dig deep, okay? You're going to have to dig deep, and your schedule does not get any easier, and you just lost to Northern Illinois. That coach is going to have to motivate his team so that they can get right. Because if I'm their coach, I'm shaking in my boots just a little bit. Another biggest loser, Colorado. And that's crazy because I did have them as one of my winners of week one of college football. But when I actually sat back and looked at the game again, because I was just shocked by how Nebraska just dominated them in all facets of the game. Then I decided to go back and look at the South Dakota State game. And the writing was on the wall for Nebraska to beat them the way that they did. It was clearly hard for them to stop the run against South Dakota State. And then when you see what Nebraska did, Nebraska ran the ball right down their throat. Okay. And then also the offensive line play, it was better against South Dakota State. But man, Shador had someone in his face almost every single play. I'm pretty sure if we go back and we look at the percentages, possibly at least 50% of the time he had someone in his face. And that could be wrong, but that's what it felt like, okay? He was always running for his life. Always. And I get some people are saying when his press conference, when he said how much did Raiola get touched and that's not leadership quality. If I'm getting beat up consistently by a team, I don't know how much of a leader I would be, because I'm upset, because I know we can do better. But then I look at that performance that they had against Nebraska. I don't know how much of a leader I would be, because that is absolutely demoralizing, just demoralizing. So I hope as the season progresses, that offensive line can get better, but I don't see it. And their schedule is also not getting any easier. Okay. Now, the biggest winner of college football last week was definitely Texas. Texas went into the Big House and absolutely destroyed Michigan. Okay. I mean, destroyed Michigan. I kind of expected it because of how Michigan played the week before, but I wasn't expecting it to be that bad. Okay. But Texas, I understand why they moved up in the college rankings. Right now, there is a clear difference between the top three teams in college football, which is Georgia, Texas, and Ohio State. Those are the three teams to beat. And I know Alabama is number four ranked right now, but Alabama did not look that great against USF. They did not look decent until 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I'll talk about that a little bit more, but back to Michigan. I understand they are the defending national champions. They lost, if I'm not mistaken, 13 players to the NFL draft while also losing their coach to the NFL. And I get it. People will say, well, they're Michigan. They're supposed to rebuild. Yeah, but that is going to be hard on a program. You losing 13 key players plus the head coach. I kind of expected them to be down this year. Not down this much, but I did expect them to be down. Hopefully, they can kind of get better and have more competitive games. But the game against Texas, they were never close. They were never close at all. Okay? And so they were our clear winner. And I'm going to go back a little bit. And I'm going to say Alabama needs to do better. Okay, if we're talking about the top 14 in college football, Alabama has to do better. Okay, but they had a right tackle in there, Frumby, if I'm not mistaken, that is his last name. He was in pretty much the whole game and he got beat every single time. Okay, he absolutely got destroyed. When they finally pulled him with about 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter and the injured Pritchard came in, he was injured, wasn't 100% healthy, so he was only limited in activity for that game. That's why it took so long for him to come in. But the minute he went in, they scored 21 points in six plays. 21 points. Three touchdowns in six plays. I guess we know who's starting at right tackle next game. I don't think they're going to even care that Pritchard is not 100%. Because the way that changed that game, they're definitely going to need him against Wisconsin when they go to Wisconsin this coming weekend. So that's pretty much all I have on college football this week. And next week we're going to have some good talking points. I mean, LSU is going to Columbia, to Carolina, and it's going to be college game day. I'm excited to see how that's going to turn out, but I'm going to put my money on LSU. If LSU loses that game, I will be shocked. Okay? Now, let's talk about the WNBA and what's going on right now. All right? Angel Reese is out for the season. Hairline fracture in her wrist. She had the option to forego surgery to complete the season, but doctors told her if she did, she ran the risk of catching arthritis in her wrist, which would prevent her from playing as long as she wants to play. So she decided to have surgery. She's going to have surgery. And honestly, that puts her out of the Rookie of the Year candidacy. I think that's the right word. Excuse me if I'm wrong, but that puts her out of the running for being Rookie of the Year. And I mean, Caitlin Clark numbers and what she's doing with the Indiana Fever right now, how they're just winning. And like I said, Tiffany Mitchell alone with Caitlin Clark, that duo right there, they're kind of the best duo right now since the WNBA has resumed since the Olympics. Okay. And unfortunately for us as well, Ozzie Wilson is also out. She was missed last game. Hopefully she'll be back in the next 2 to 3 games. She was walking around in a boot. And I really wanted her to be the first player to reach 1,000 points in a season. But they have to monitor because they're going to need her for the playoffs. So I completely understand if she sits out 2 to 3 games. Okay. But the WNBA, they are heating up right now. We are getting into the playoffs. Games are even more competitive than they have been. Not to say that games weren't competitive, but team dynamics have changed after some trades, after some coaches have sat down and reevaluate what their team have and they've changed strategies. I'm excited for the playoffs. I hope you are just as excited as I am. I mean, we've had a great rookie play, great vet play, great coaching. The WNBA is what you need to be watching. It's where you need to be watching. It's what you need to be watching. Okay. Once again, I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. You can find the podcast on all free podcast platforms, Spotify or Apple, and the link to the YouTube will be in the description notes. And you can also find me on social media on Twitter at Kayla McClam, KAILAMCCLAM, as well as on Facebook, Kayla McClam. So find me on all social medias and make sure you like and share.